Let's take our hymn books and we'll turn to 697. 697. In prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for these church people and the love that they have shown to the family. We ask, Lord, that your comforter would be especially close to us during this time, both as a family and as a church. Bless in the morning service with Father Henze's feast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. 691. 691.
Silver, purple, gray, and I know more as thou shalt sing.
And we sorrow, but not as those that have no hope. So that's such a blessing to know that our pastor is with the Lord in heaven. And we're going to see him again. Anyway, this coming Friday night, there will be a viewing. What's the name of the funeral home?
Brubaker.
I'm sorry. Brubaker Funeral Home here in Catasauqua. And it's from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And then there will be a service here at 12 noon on Saturday. And then there will be a viewing here as well an hour before that. Okay? And then also, the other announcement I did not make Sunday school is there will be a memorial service on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. We will have our normal Sunday school at 9:30 and the morning service at 11. Following that, we'll give everyone plenty of time to go get something to eat and whatnot, whatever you need to take care of. And then right back here at 3 p.m., we will have a memorial service. Okay? And that will also allow many of his friends from other churches to come and be a part of that service. So those are the special announcements that we have. If you did not get a chance to see it already, the obituary is over here on the organ. You can take a look at it. All right. Those are the announcements that I'm aware of right now. Yes, Jason, go ahead.
For that memorial service, I don't know if some of you were here for Pop Stout's memorial service, and we passed the microphone around, and everybody, if you raise your hand, kind of like a testimony time, could share some memories that you had of Pastor. We're going to do that this Sunday. So come prepared with something on your mind if you want to. If you'd like to do that, that'd be really nice.
At the memorial service? Or
memorial service.
Okay, I was going to say,
Sunday.
I mean, some might rather do it during one of the regular services as well. If we have the time, we could do that. That's that up to sir. Okay. All right. Before I forget, like I've done before, we better take our look at Psalm 1. So if you need to turn to it, it's Psalm 1, verses 1 through 5. Take care of that. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of his scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. For the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Okay. Let's turn to 681. A favorite of many, including our pastor. I will meet you in the morning, just inside the east gate. had a special request for another song. I think half of you can figure out what it is. 212 in the chorus book. Everything, or 211 in the chorus book. Everything's all right in my Father's house. 211.
Sister said last night, don't sing any sad songs in church tomorrow. But that's all I've got. That's not true. These are happy songs, but like Pastor Renzi said, we're going to miss him here on earth, and I'm sure I'm going to miss him. He was my favorite singing partner, and I love to hear him sing. This is a song I wrote for him about 4 years ago, and this was requested this morning to hear this song. I wanted him to have I'm not really sure how this song came about, but it was coming up on Father's Day, and I wanted him to have something that was original. And, you know, all the cards say the same thing, and I handed this to him the first year for Father's Day that I had written it, and I said, I wanted you to have a lyric that was all yours. And I'm not sure he realized what I meant by that. I don't think he realized till a little later that I actually wrote this for him. But then he liked it. So I'm going to sing that one for you now. It's simply titled, My Dad. Remember standing there as he taught me to comb my hair, how to tie a tie, answer all my where's and why's. He taught me how to ride a bike, how to make and fly a kite. But along with all the fun, he often told me of God's Son. My dad taught me how to be a man. Some things took me years to understand. He'd say, boy, one day you're gonna see. You'll find you start thinking just like me. I wouldn't trade those memories if I could. Daddy stood. If not for him, who knows where I'd be. Dad, I want to say thanks. Thanks for loving me. How to drive a car, how to mow and trim the yard. We'd play every sport, it seemed. We were always on the same team. And every time I'd disobey, he taught me consequence to pay. Though I didn't like it then, I'd learn another lesson when my dad taught me how to be a man. Some things took me years to understand. He'd say, boy, one day you're gonna see. You'll find you start thinking just like me. I wouldn't trade those memories if I could. I always knew right where my daddy stood. If not for him, who knows where I'd be. Dad, I want to say thanks. Thanks for loving me. I'm older and I'm all grown. I've got kids of my own. I still remember how it used to be. Hope I'm half the dad he was to me. My dad taught me how to be a man. Some things took me years to understand. Say, boy, one day you're gonna see. You'll find you start thinking just like me. I wouldn't trade those memories if I could. I always knew right where my daddy stood. If not for him, where I'd be. Dad, I want to say thanks. Thanks for loving me. If not for him, who knows where I'd be. Dad, I want to say thanks. Thanks for loving me. Change the words a little bit on this one to fit him. He went to sleep one night, never here to awake again. but everything was all right between God and him. So he awoke in heaven's courtyard, free from pain within. The angels gathered round him, and they took him by the hand, serenaded by angels, up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises. Angels will sing. Now I close my eyes at night, and I try to imagine that city of brilliant light waiting for me. But my mind cannot conceive, so I'll continue to dream till I'm transported there, then I will be serenaded by to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. Welcome to paradise. The angels will sing, serenaded by angels, up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises. To the King, welcome to paradise, the angels will sing. Welcome to paradise, the angels will sing. Serenaded by angels.
Would you please open? All right, there we go. If you have a Bible, would you please open to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Sang a lot of great hymns about heaven and how beautiful heaven must be. Amen. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Amen. I want to look this morning, and I'm not going to be as long. We're going to have another closing hymn in a few moments. But I want to just take a few moments, and I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. I will encourage you to go to the website. What is the website for the church? Ray Street Baptist Church?
RayStreetBaptist.org.
Go to the website. Listen to the last message that Brother Freeman preached. And that was 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Now, I want to look at it because it's a wonderful, wonderful text for this particular time period. But you listen to him preach it. Some of you probably remember it was the last message he preached here in this church. And in fact, there's a great clip at the end of it that where he talks about his confidence in going to be with the Lord. And he also challenges people to make sure you're going to go as well. Amen. And be saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I really don't have a title to the message. This is different. My topic is this text. That's it. This text. What I want us to see is this text has a twofold purpose. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 has a twofold purpose. And I want you to note the twofold purpose in this text for this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's read the text and then I want to just give you some thoughts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, Paul said this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In this text, there's a twofold purpose found in it. Number one, the first purpose of this text is this. This text is a text of enlightenment. Enlightenment. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, uses this particular text to explain to those that are alive their concerns about those of their loved ones who have died. The Thessalonian believers believed in the return of the Lord. In fact, they were anticipating the coming of the Lord. And as they were waiting for the Lord to return, other believers were dying. And so these believers were concerned, are they going to miss out on the rapture when the Lord comes because they passed away? And obviously this was a concern they had. And so Paul wrote this text first and foremost. We find in the very first statement of the verse, in verse number 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." He doesn't want them to be ignorant. He wants to enlighten them. He wants to open their eyes to some truths about their loved ones who had passed already before the Lord's return. I want you to note something. In this verse, the first part of it, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And notice the next statement, concerning them which are asleep. I want you to understand something, brothers and sisters, that verses 13 to 18, the primary message is not the rapture of the church. The primary emphasis of this whole chapter is concerning them which are asleep. Verses 13 down to 18 is all got to do pretty much with them which are asleep, those who have gone on before, if you will. In fact, I want you to note something. In verse number 13, we find the thought of them which are asleep. Verse number 14, he uses the term them which sleep in Jesus. And then in verse number 15, he says them which are asleep. In verse number 16, he says the dead in Christ. Again, that's a reference to them which are asleep. In verse number 17, he says we shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. In every verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, except for verse number 18, every verse is concerning them who have gone on before. And so this is a message from the Lord to those of us that are here alive now about them who have gone on before. Amen. And I want you to know something. By the way, the thought that they are asleep is a reference to the body, not to the soul. We do not believe like the Jehovah's Witnesses in soul sleep. We don't believe that your soul goes to sleep when you die. We believe your body goes to sleep, if you will. It's a euphemism. It's a term. By the way, it's a wonderful term to think. You know, when somebody goes to sleep at nighttime, we don't panic. Do you know why? We know they're going to get up. We know they're going to rise up. We know they're going to what? Wake up. And so this term is a wonderful term. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ used this term. He said in John chapter number 11, you'll recall, do you remember when Lazarus was sick? And in fact, Mary and Martha sent for Jesus and they said, hey, he whom thou lovest is sick. And by the way, Jesus loved Lazarus. In fact, the Bible actually says it vividly in John chapter number 11. Jesus loved Lazarus. By the way, if you get sick and you go through a situation, thank God it doesn't mean you're not loved by the Lord. Amen? Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to the disciples, we got to go and we got to wake up Lazarus. And he said, what do you mean? He said, he's sleeping. And somebody said, well, if he's sleeping, he does a good thing. It's a good thing to sleep. He said, no, he's dead. But I'm going to go that I may awake him out of his sleep. And by the way, the Lord Jesus woke Lazarus from the grave that day to prove his authority over death. Death could not hold him down and death cannot hold his people down. Amen. You remember when the Lord got to that grave and he said, Lazarus, come forth with a shout of command. In fact, when he comes, it will be with the voice of a command, a shout. Come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Amen. In fact, the Lord Jesus used this term again also in the book of Mark chapter number 5. Some of you will recall Jairus's daughter. You remember that man Jairus when he sought the Lord and said, my daughter is at the point of death. Will you please come and heal her? And as he was on his way, they sent messengers that said, don't trouble yourself anymore. She's already dead. And Jesus said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. And when he got to the place, they were weeping and wailing. And he said, what are you crying for? She's not dead. She's asleep. And he went in there. And he woke up her. Amen. He woke her up. Amen. The term sleep is a reference to the body of the believer. In fact, sleep implies resting. The term cemetery means resting place. The body of believers will rest in the ground, waiting for the Lord to awaken them. Amen. And by the way, I will say this. It's not only the body of the believer that is resting according to Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13, the believer himself is resting as well. In Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13, the Bible says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And by the way, our brother was in the Lord. Amen. What does it mean to be in the Lord? It means to be saved. Amen. He was in Christ. He was saved. That's the best place to be. Amen. In Christ. And so being saved, being in the Lord, when we pass this life, we are blessed in the fact that we were dead and died in the Lord. I would not want to die outside the Lord. And we know what the outcome of that is, and that's never good. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, from the moment they die, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You know, it's amazing. The 41 years of laboring that our brother did in this ministry, in this church, people are saved and that are not here. People are saved and lives are changed. And by the way, what work for 41 years has been going by the grace of God will continue. As he taught the word of God to our hearts and to our minds, and as we take it and share what we've learned with others, the work goes on. Amen. The work that was begun. The body is sleeping. The soul is resting, if you will. The body of the believer is resting in the grave, but the believer himself is resting in the Lord. Amen? And might I say this, he's not just resting in the Lord, he's resting with the Lord. Because you and I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? I recall, I believe it's in Matthew, or actually Luke chapter 23, 43. You remember Jesus when he was dying on the cross and the two thieves were railing upon him. And one thief came to his senses and he said, "Hey, what are you doing? We have done wrong and we deserve the punishment we're getting. But this man, he's done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, when you enter into your kingdom, will you remember me?" And Jesus said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, that man, when he died, he was with the Lord that day. Amen? And what a wonderful, wonderful truth. I want you to note, if you would, please, 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 4, verse number 14. You see, I believe that the body is in the ground, but the soul, the spirit is with the Lord. Amen? Look at verse number 14. Watch what he says. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," look what it says, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus will" what? "God bring with him." I personally believe that reference to God is Jesus and his coming. And when he comes, he's going to bring them with him. If he's going to bring them with him, then they have to be with him now. They're alive. They're with the Lord. Amen. No doubt about it. In fact, Paul said in Philippians 1:23, he said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." See, to depart is to be with Christ. By the way, Paul said, which is far better. Far better. The Sadducees, one of the biggest problems they had was they did not believe in the resurrection. Somebody said, by the way, that's why they're sad, you see. Amen. And they came to Jesus and they said, "Well, you know, this woman, she married so many men, and whose wife she going to be in?" And Jesus looked right there. He said, "You know, you do greatly err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." What did Jesus, or what did God say when he spoke to the Israelites? He said, "I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob." He's the God of the living, not of the dead. Amen. The body of our loved ones who have gone on before are resting in the grave, but their spirit and our soul is resting in the Lord, with the Lord, in and for all eternity. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 15 of this text. You see, this is a text of enlightenment. Our eyes need to be open concerning our loved ones who have gone on before. We need to understand they're okay. In fact, they're better off than us. No doubt about it. They're better off than us. Look at verse number 15. "For this we say unto you by the Lord of the Lord." Look what he says. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep." You see, they were concerned that their loved ones were going to miss out. And Paul said, "Hey, listen, when the Lord comes back, nobody's missing out." Amen? Nobody's missing out. I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 16. "For the Lord himself," I like that, "shall descend from heaven," the Lord himself. Think about that along with this. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." This is personal. The Lord himself shall descend, verse number 16, "shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God." Now look at the next part of the verse. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." They will rise. The bodies of the believers that have gone on before, when the Lord comes back, they will rise from those graves. We're not going before them. And might I say this, we're going with them. My understanding of this verse, some believe that they're going first. It didn't say they're going first. They have to rise first. And then we're going to go together. There's a question. I want you to turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians, please. There's a question that's asked, chapter 15. There's a question that is asked and it's answered within this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, would you look at verse number 35? We shall rise, hallelujah. We shall rise, amen. We shall rise, hallelujah. That's a song, by the way, some of you probably recall, right? And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, would you look at verse number 35? Here's the question. It says this, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? We know they're going to rise, but how are they going to raise up? And what body will they do they come? What kind of body are they going to have when they are resurrected, if you will? And the answer is given. Look at verse number 42. Verse number 42 of the same chapter, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown, talking about the body, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, humble. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Now get the next statement. It is sown it is raised a spiritual body. Now I want to say this. The spiritual body, I believe, is the reference to the glorified body. See, that's how they're going to be raised. They're put in the ground one way, but when their bodies come up, they come up a better way. Amen? Amen. A spiritual body. He says there's a natural body. There's a spiritual body, a glorified body. I want you to see something in this text, though. Skip to verse number 51, because Paul, as he's talking about this, he says something which parallels 1 Thessalonians 4. Here's what he says in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery, a sacred secret, if you will. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Verse number 53, for this corruption must put on, or this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal, this body that can die must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Eventually, because of the resurrection, death will be overcome. In verse number 55, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, in the end, we get the victory. It might look like death had victory over the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 days, but up from the grave he arose. Amen. Up from the grave he arose. And it may look like death has the victory now over our loved ones who are in that grave, but one day their bodies will rise from the grave. Look at verse number 57 as he comes to the conclusion. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. And that's the victory over the grave through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise. Their bodies will be changed. You know, Paul said in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, he said, our citizenship is in heaven. If you're saved, you're a citizen of heaven. Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile, humble bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his. Amen. John concurred in 1 John chapter number 3. He said, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave and had a glorified body. And when we are raised up, we'll have the same, a glorified body. By the way, beloved, this is our blessed hope. This is our blessed hope. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Our citizenships are in heaven. By the way, our names are in heaven. You remember the disciples, the 70 went out and they came back to the Lord Jesus and they were rejoicing that the demons and the spirits were subject to them. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact your name is written in heaven. In fact, I say, where is it written? I believe it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think if you go to, and don't do it, but you go to Revelation chapter number 11, and at the great white throne judgment, which is for the unsaved, if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no blessedness after that. Thank God our names are written in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, we have a place reserved for us in heaven. Amen? And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. This text, now if you go back with me please to 1 Thessalonians as we come down. This text is a text of enlightenment. He wanted them to understand. It's a good thing to know, isn't it? Your loved one is not lost if they're not here. If they're with the Lord. When you know where somebody's at, they're not lost. Amen? There's a loss that you experience and their absence. But thank God they're not lost. By no means. Number two, not only is this text a text of enlightenment, but this text is a text of encouragement. That's the whole purpose for the enlightenment. It's for you and I to understand. And that enlightenment, that understanding should lead us to being more encouraged. Amen? More encouraged. If you'll notice with me in verse number 13 again, the second part of the verse emphasizes the fact that this text is a text of encouragement. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Why? Why are you enlightening me on this? Here it is. That you sorrow not. By the way, there's no period after that, right? There's no period after that. It didn't say don't sorrow. It says this, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. During the day that this was written, the pagans were hopeless people. They believed this life was it and there's nothing else after. Amen? You and I don't believe that. You and I, according to the word of God, we don't sorrow hopelessly. We sorrow with hope. Amen? That's where the mixed emotions come from. Sorry they're not here, but thank God we know where they are, and thank God because we're saved, we're going to catch up to them. Amen? This is a text of encouragement. By the way, to say don't sorrow is to say don't love. You understand that, right? How stupid. John 11:35. Jesus wept. You know, I've heard people say, oh, Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. And they say he wept because he had to bring Lazarus back to this crazy world. I don't find that in the scriptures. Though it might not be a bad thing to weep over. Amen. Can I tell you why he wept if you want to read and study the context? Jesus got to the gravesite and he saw Martha and Mary weeping. He already knew Lazarus was dead and he didn't weep before he got there. Watch this. Mine eye affecteth my heart. When he saw those women weeping, he groaned in the spirit and he wept. Put that text with Hebrews 4:15. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our infirmities give us feelings. And those feelings, he feels. Amen? In this text, we see the focus of our encouragement is this. The body of our loved ones are asleep, but the spirit and soul of our loved ones are with the Lord. That's the focus of the encouragement. And here's another focus of the encouragement. At the return of the Lord, at the rapture, we're going to leave together, get this, and we're going to live together forever. That's the focus of the encouragement. They're safe. Their body's safe. They're safe. One day we're going to get together, and one day we're going to be together forever. That's the focus of the encouragement. That's the focus of the encouragement. The foundation of the encouragement is this. Verse number 18. Wherefore, comfort and courage one another with what? These words. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Everybody's idea is speculation. This is revelation. We have his word on it. Amen? That's why we have to understand what he said, be encouraged by what he said, and encourage one another by what he said. Amen? What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled? You see, God is the one who comforts all of us. He's the God of all comfort. But he uses his word to do that. And he uses his people filled with his word to do that. Amen? Amen. Let me say this in closing. This text, by the way, if you think about it, is for believers only. It had nothing in there about the lost. This text is for believers only. Get this. About believers only. It's for believers only, and it's about believers only. That's what it's all about. Look at verse number 14, if you would, please. For if we believe, there it is. You see, what is it that makes you a believer, a real believer? Here it is. We believe that Jesus died and that he rose again. See, what makes me a believer is I believe in the gospel. I believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, that Jesus died according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. That's what I believe. Amen. When a person believes that and gets baptized, do you know baptism is an identification? You're identifying with the gospel. You're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you are baptized, you're in an upright position first. That's a picture of the cross. That's a picture of the judgment of Jesus Christ on the cross, taking our judgment. When you're baptized, you're in that pool or in that water, and in your upright position, you're saying, I identify and I believe in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you go into that water, you're identifying and you're saying, I believe in the burial of Jesus Christ. That's why you go all the way in the water. When you come up out in that water, you know what you're identifying with, right? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what baptism is. This text is about believers and for believers only. And my encouragement to you is I hope and pray that every one of us will be able to apply this text to our own selves. Say, I'm a believer. Amen? If you're not a believer, I pray today you become a believer. Amen? There was a man, we call him the Philippian jailer. Book of Acts chapter 16, he saw some wonderful things. He heard, obviously, Paul and Silas singing and probably praising and preaching. And this Philippian jailer came to Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Boy, if there's ever a question, would to God people would ask that more often. Wouldn't that be nice? In fact, I'm thinking of a sermon. It's three questions that everybody should ask. What must I do to be saved? There's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. Three good questions, right? But the fact of the matter is, man, this man, what must I? And if Paul the Apostle had an opportunity not only to tell him, but every one of us that are listening now, here it is. Here's what we got to do to get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And by the way, your house can believe and do the same thing. Amen. Amen. Only believe. Only trust him. Believe when he died on the cross to pay for all your sins. 100% of it. Amen. was buried, and he rose again to guarantee that what he paid is okay. Amen? He'll ensure that. Oh, if you're not a believer today, you're going to have a hard time sorrowing without hope. Amen? But thank God for those of us that are saved. And you know what, thankful? Thank God when we lose loved ones that we don't doubt whether they were saved or not. There are people that lose loved ones that may have been saved, but sometimes that doubt is in the mind because they really maybe didn't have a whole lot of fruit. Oh, might I encourage us, let's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's trust him. Let's trust him with our loved ones that believed, and let's trust him with our own selves. Amen. Thank God for comfort one another with these words. Brother Jason is going to come and we're going to close, and Brother Ralph's going to come. We're going to have a song as we close. And the song is Because He Lives, and it's referring to Lord Jesus. Thank God we serve a risen Savior and a living Savior. Amen. And because of that, we have a lively or a living hope. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen.
thank you so much for your word, for the joy that we can have even in the midst of grief, knowing that our loved ones who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we will see them again. We thank you that we can sorrow with hope, not without hope.
Amen.
And we pray for each one of us that you would give us the comfort and strength that we need at this time. And may your will be accomplished in our hearts and lives. Dismiss us with your blessing. Encourage us and strengthen us today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we go, I want to do something. Come on over here, brother. I feel compelled to say something because I think my dad would have said something after today's message. And, this is the first time in 41 years that we've had a Sunday morning service where we didn't have a pastor. And I don't know what that's like. I've been here for 37 of those 41 years. But the Lord is taking care of us. And we don't have a pastor right now, and we're searching for one. But he's definitely taking care of us because he's brought to us Brother Renzi. And he has said that he will take care of the services for us until we find somebody. And what good preaching today. What a blessing it was to hear him explain about the feeling of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, you know? And the other illustration that you gave, too, about I can't even remember. But that the sorrowing is okay. It's okay to be sorrowful. And so God is taking care of us. We may not have a pastor who we put the name on as pastor of Ray Street Baptist Church, but right now he's our pastor. So I think we should have a word of prayer. Brother Joe, would you pray? I'm going to pray. And would you pray then? Follow me with a word of prayer. And let's pray for Brother Matt Renzi and his wife as they travel back and forth and they minister to us. And what a blessing it's been. I'll pray and then Brother Joe, and then we'll be dismissed. All right. Our Father, we come before you today, and we're thankful for the group of people that love your word, that love to meet together and sing your praises. And we thank you for this church. We thank you for the ministry that's been started 41 years ago by my dad. And he left a clear path for us to follow in. And I believe we're doing that, and we're going to do everything within our ability to follow in those paths that he led for us. And we thank you for Brother Matt Renzi and his wife that you've sent to us. We thank you for their friendship. What a lovely couple they are. And we just thank you that you brought them to us. And we thank you for his love of the word, his knowledge of the word, and the ability that he has to comfort our hearts with that word. And so we just pray that you would bless them, keep them safe as they travel back and forth. And we just thank you again for this. And we'll pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you still raise up good men of God, Lord, that will come and preach your word. And we thank you for our brother and his wife, Lord, that he comes up here, Lord, and is filling in for us, Lord. But Father, we need to hear your word, to strengthen it each and every day, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the pastor we had, Lord. It'll always be in our hearts. And Father, we just wait for the day when we can be with him also. In the sight of your Son, Father, may the peace, the grace, and the mercy of our Father, God in heaven, and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, be with us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.